This is our number
10. It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It's World of News in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to the Fastest 15. So I heard the story Heather just had. I watched the Cairo 7 video of it, an anti-Asian, appeared to be a hate crime in Tacoma. It was months ago, but video has now surfaced because one of the attackers apparently posted the video on a social media site. I don't know if it was Snapchat or where it was. I'm just curious if there is a clear trend line, which is what we are being told, of who the victims are, Asian Americans, and there is a clear trend line of who the attackers are. Why does that never get mentioned? Because there is a lie being perpetrated with these anti-Asian crimes and the increase. In Tacoma, I've told you, the two that have been charged in King County, both cases, hate crimes against Asian Americans, in both cases, the suspects are black. The Japanese teacher at Inglemore High School got smashed in the face in the International District. Suspect was black. She wants that to be a hate crime. This thing in Tacoma clearly looks like a hate crime. Just an older Asian couple, Korean couple, walking down the sidewalk in Tacoma when two black teenagers just brutally pummeled them. But why is it relevant to mention the trend line of the victims and not the trend line of the suspects? Well, because there is a lie that is being peddled with this. When they had the Stop Asian Hate rally a couple of weeks ago, there were a bunch of people holding up signs, end white supremacy. And that's not who's responsible for the huge uptick in these crimes. But there's this guy named, he's a doctor, named Eugene Gu. And he is very well known. He has 500,000 followers on Twitter. And he just tweeted, black on Asian crimes only occur because of our system of white supremacy that strips African Americans of their economic opportunities while taking respect and dignity away from Asian Americans. Also, white people in power are experts at dividing and conquering to stay in power. So, Dr. Gu, are you really saying that the uptick in anti-Asian hate crimes where the suspects are black, that's white supremacy's fault? But that's why the suspects are left out in most of the coverage. That's why we had to go to the prosecutor's office to get the numbers, to get the stats that I've shared with you. And there's an agenda. It's a very careful agenda that's being pushed right now. And it's not very real. All right, so let's get into the fastest 15 here. So Nicole, Major League Baseball is moving the All-Star game out of Atlanta because Georgia passed a law that says you should show ID to vote. And if you don't work for the polling place, nonpartisan, you cannot be a, in the last election, you cannot be a Biden supporter passing out Biden logo water bottles to people standing in line, or Trump supporter couldn't pass out Trump, lunch baskets standing in line. And we have a president who is punishing a state for the state's personal politics. This is really getting out of control. I've never seen anything like this.
It's really bothering me. Because now we're being punished for the way we vote. Because even if it was a politician's decision to make this happen, so you're punishing the people that voted and those politicians that made this happen, and then now the president is he didn't make the decision, but he encourages this decision yesterday, and then it happened. It's crazy.
Well, and not only that, but it's not punishing people for how they vote, but it's punishing people for saying we want to have more integrity in our election, which, by the way, 71% of Americans, including Black Americans, the racial breakout is, I think it was something like 80% of whites and 71% of Black Americans want voter ID. They want integrity in our elections. And so now Major League Baseball, because pro sports has become nothing but radical propaganda for leftist causes. And let me just, you know, here's Joe Biden. He did an interview with ESPN a couple of days ago with Sage Steele. And that's when he first said he wants Major League Baseball to get the All-Star Game out of Atlanta because they want to have integrity in their election.
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that. People look to them. They're leaders. Look at what's happened with the NBA as well. Look at what's happened across the board. The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids, what they're doing in Georgia and 40 other states.
And that's what I said yesterday. I'm sure that Joe Biden has no idea what the Jim Crow laws did, how they mandated racial segregation, how they, you know, they, and by the way, who pushed all the Jim Crow laws? Democrats. Jim Crow laws were the laws of the Southern Democrats. But to suggest that asking somebody to show ID when they vote is Jim Crow on steroids, when Jim Crow laws were, they mandated segregation in public facilities. They truly made it impossible for so many Black Americans to vote. They were despicable. And now if you say, well, we want you to, when you vote, which is a pretty sacred act, we want you to do what you have to do when you rent a car or get a hotel room or fly on an airplane. Just show some ID. And all of a sudden, and as I said, all these people who are so against it, they must be the most horribly racist people in the world to think that that African Americans, that Black Americans cannot show a piece of ID. Talk about the bigotry of low expectations, man. But I played a little bit of this for you yesterday. I'm only going to play a little now. But listen to the hyperbole from the media. From NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CNN.
Rolling back voter rights. The Republican push in more than 40 states to limit voting access.
These are the kind of people who would pass a law to keep Jesus from beginning a cup of water while he's dying on the cross.
Should we make...
Whoa, on this Good Friday. So telling campaign workers that they can't pass out a Joe Biden water bottle to people waiting in line to vote, and electioneering at a polling place, that is akin to denying Jesus water as he hung from the cross. I mean, this is idiocy at a level that is unimaginable. Somebody saying that on, you know, what used to be considered a news network.
Rolling back voter rights. The Republican push in more than 40 states to limit voting access.
These are the kind of people who would pass a law to keep Jesus from beginning a cup of water while he's dying on the cross.
Should we make it harder to vote based on lies, or should we make it easier to vote so that more people can participate?
This big lie from last fall, promoted by pro-Trump propaganda networks, is now the cover, is now the excuse for these attempts at voter suppression.
We're watching the big lie turn into voter suppression before our very eyes.
How do you at the DNC plan to contend with the voter suppression efforts that we're now seeing across the country?
States across the country race to enact laws to suppress voting.
Is this all voter suppression in action?
Extraordinary surge of voter suppression laws.
There's a huge...
Voter suppression, voter suppression, voter suppression. Can I have a cracker? Voter suppression, voter suppression. And then, let's see, here's Biden saying this.
This is nothing but punitive, designed to keep people from voting. You can't provide water for people about to vote. Give me a break.
You can't electioneer at a polling place. You can't campaign at a polling place. This is crazy. See, he's pushing that line. Also, Joe Biden, did you have the soundbite where he said that they wouldn't let people, that they were going to close the polls at 5 o'clock? Did you have that one, Nicole?
Well, I did. I thought it was in that other one. So let me see if I can find it again.
Okay. Because Joe Biden said, and working people, they're closing the polls at 5 o'clock. So working people aren't going to be able to vote. And he was lying. He was just flat out lying about that. The Atlanta Journal Constitution, they also repeated that Democratic misinformation, because the Democrat, and this is what I've been talking about for a long, long time. The Democrats tell a lie. The media repeats the lie unthinkingly. And then the lie somehow becomes believed. So the Atlanta Journal-Constitution just wrote this correction. A previous version of this story said the new law would limit voting hours. On Election Day in Georgia, polling places are open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And if you are in line by 7 p.m., you are allowed to cast your ballot. Nothing in the new law changes those rules. Okay, Joe Biden, for the last several days, has been saying, they're closing the polls at 5 o'clock now. He's not saying it that forcefully. It's a much weaker telling of the lie. But he simply has been lying about that. And again, what is so reprehensible is these media outlets that take these lies and they don't check them out. Or they purposely repeat it. I don't know which it is. And then they have to print the correction. So anyway, the Major League All-Star Game is getting pulled from Georgia now. Remember a couple years ago, Jay Inslee wouldn't allow any state travel in Washington from Washington to North Carolina and I think Indiana. And I don't even remember. I think North Carolina was some transgender bill, and Indiana, I don't recall what it was, but Jay Inslee said, yeah, we're not allowing any state travel to any of these places. Yeah, it's insanity. We're dealing with a lot of insanity right now. And then there's this. I want you to listen to what a doctor just said on CNN, because my view, this is pure evil. Now, I've told you how I feel about the vaccine. I am getting vaccinated because the upside for me, I mean, I don't want to go into the matrix that I talked about in depth yesterday. The upside for me is much greater than the downside of getting vaccinated. For my daughters, I truly don't care if they get vaccinated. I talked to them. I think they are planning on it. They just independently arrived at that decision. But, you know, they're all smart. They're able to make decisions over their own bodies. And so I think they're all going to get vaccinated when they're eligible. But I wouldn't care if they didn't, because the most lightly tested vaccine to ever be moved to market, I don't know if there are going to be downside risks, you know, 1 or 3 or 5 years from now. I just don't know. I think the chances of that are minuscule. But I also think the benefit of a young, healthy person getting vaccinated is minuscule. Here's a doctor on CNN. And listen to what they think should happen if you are a young, healthy, or an older, healthy person, or any person who doesn't get vaccinated. And again, to me, this is just pure evil that's being pushed out.
It's clear to them that the vaccine is the ticket back to pre-pandemic life. And the window to do that is really narrowing. I mean, you were mentioning, Chris, about how all these states are reopening. They're reopening at 100%. And we have a very narrow window to tie reopening policy to vaccination status. Because otherwise, if everything is reopened...
I'll let you hear the rest of that. She wants to tie reopening state economies to vaccination status. And listen as to why. Because that will force people to maybe get the vaccine that they otherwise would not want.
Then what's the carrot going to be? How are we going to incentivize people to actually get the vaccine? So that's why I think the CDC and the Biden administration needs to come out a lot bolder and say, if you're vaccinated, you can do all these things. Here are all these freedoms that you have. Because otherwise, people are going to go out and enjoy these freedoms anyway.
So you should only get freedoms if you do what the government orders you to do. And if you don't get the vaccine, you should not get freedoms in America. That is literally what she is saying. And that is evil. And by the way, this is all coming from people on the left. Whatever happened to my body, my choice? I thought that they were absolute, that everybody should have sovereignty over their body. But when it comes to government injecting people, then, no, there should be no choice. Man, I wonder if the left is going to change on abortion now and say, yeah, you shouldn't have control over that. We'll let government decide what's going to happen. I assume, to be consistent, they are no longer in favor of choice when it comes to abortion. They're against choice on vaccines, for crying out loud. Okay, next up in the Fast 50. Oh, they said you will have no travel restrictions now. The CDC said if you get vaccinated, you don't have to quarantine when you arrive. So that's another way to put pressure on people to get the vaccine. Next up. Oh, man. I got to go quick here. You hear about this Pete Buttigieg, who's the Secretary of Transportation. He screwed up South Bend, Indiana, which is other than the Notre Dame campus, it's a bad city. I've been there. I visited there with one of my daughters on a college visit. Pete Buttigieg, he decided that he's going to show everybody, because his thing is, you shouldn't have to have a car to get around, no matter where you live. And one way you should get around is by bicycle. So he actually rode his bike to his first White House cabinet meeting. Very, very impressive. Buttigieg rode his bike to the White House cabinet meeting. There's only one problem. There was a guy who got video of the SUV that had Buttigieg's bike in the back of it. It drove to 3.5 blocks away from the White House, and then the big burly guys in the SUV, they got out, they pulled out Buttigieg's bike, and then he pedaled his way to the White House for 3 blocks. A little bit of theater. You know, it's like Jay Inslee wearing his mask, even though he's vaccinated. Theater. Joe Biden wearing the mask. Theater. Buttigieg riding his bike. Who's the guy in Seattle? Do you remember, Nicole? There was a Seattle politician who was accused of doing that. Was it McGinn? Mike McGinn?
I think it was McGinn. Maybe. I think it was McGinn. It had to have been. But yeah, it was either him or it was a council member. I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was McGinn, but I also know that McGinn has vehemently denied that. But there was this rumor that you know, dogged him all 4 years.
Of somebody. Yeah. There was a video of somebody. If it wasn't, if there's no video of McGinn, then it was a council member. I'm gonna get to the bottom of this.
There was another Seattle politician who was accused of doing what Buttigieg did. But it's all theater. You know, it's we're not doing anything because it's good and righteous. We're not telling you need to bike because it's such a convenient way to get around. We'll just create little theater events and hope that nobody realizes what phonies they are. Amazing. And that is your Fastest 50.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. It was announced yesterday while we were on the air that there's a new group coming together, Compassion Seattle, and they have a new plan to address homelessness. I'm very skeptical, and I will tell them why when they visit with me next here on the Dory Monson Show. Well, as we told you on our show yesterday, a broad range of business leaders and philanthropies and other groups have come together for what they hope will be the next step toward solving the homelessness issue around here. The group is called Compassion Seattle. And one of the members of this group, she is the executive director of the SOTO Business Association. SOTO has been hit very hard by the homelessness and the tents and the tarps and the crimes in the area. Erin Goodman joins us here on the Dory Monson Show. Erin, always great to talk with you.
Good morning, Dory. How are you?
Very well, thanks. So I have to admit, Erin, I come into this very skeptical for reasons I will explain, but I would first like to give you a chance to tell me why you think this is going to be a positive step toward addressing the homelessness crisis around here.
Well, as you said, SOTO has been hit specifically hard in this area. And as our businesses, which are essential businesses, providing, you know, the food and the PPE that have kept our city going, are trying to function, what I hear from them is there's no plan. What's going to happen? Is there any hope? And as you are well aware, I have been advocating, you know, around these issues for years, and often would be hit with, well, what's your plan? And so that's what this is. This is our opportunity to say it's time to stop political bickering and positioning and start to work at bringing people inside and ensuring our public spaces are clear.
Yeah, and I'm all for that, Erin. And, you know, all the things that your group is calling for, I've been saying for years that we have to invest in treatment, in mental health counseling, in substance abuse treatment. We have to do all of those things. And I also understand you want to hope to get thousands of rooms built, whether it's tiny houses or otherwise, to house people. I am with you on all of that. Here's the concern that I have. Right now, drugs are legal in King County specifically, have been for years because our prosecutor has announced he won't prosecute that. Drugs are now legal statewide, and our legislature is not going to fix that Supreme Court decision. And it's my contention, Erin, that we can spend $1 billion, we can spend $5 billion, but as long as we have more drug-addicted street criminals coming into our region than we could ever possibly house, we're going to continue to just see the problem get worse and worse.
There is no question that substance use is a major driver to the encampments that we see on our streets. You know, we have to focus on getting treatment and getting services for those people. There's another aspect of government that has to focus on, you know, what, how we handle this on a criminal matter. And, you know, at some point, you know, the charter amendment can only do so much. So, you know, we're hoping that a strong voice from the voters that's saying, yes, we want a different way, we want you to approach this a different way, will have elected officials, either those currently in office or those running for office, understand that the city of Seattle wants a different way.
I just, you know, it just seems to me that until we start making drugs illegal again, until we make the changes with the government officials who have created this problem, and I truly do believe this is the creation of our local government officials, that as long as we have them in place, what you are trying to do just seems out of order to me. It seems like we have to get back to where drugs are illegal. I mean, we have a Seattle City Council. We have a bill in the state legislature that would make misdemeanor crimes no longer crimes, so people can shoplift, they can break into houses with impunity, break into cars. As long as we have this insanity, Erin, I think all the great work that your organization is pointing to is still going to get drowned out by the influx that we're seeing every day in this region.
And I think that that is a point that voters need to keep in mind when they go to the polls. What do they want to see? Do they want to see a continuation of these types of rules, or do they want to see something different? And, you know, at the end of the day, the voters decide who is electing, you know, who is representing them and who is making these laws. And, you know, to really get to that type of change where we are addressing this situation differently. Mm-hmm. You know, the voters need to be paying attention to these issues and need to vote where they think the person is going to best represent.
Why not make that the top priority of Compassion Seattle and you know, codify that in the list of things you want to accomplish and talk about getting rid of the crazy policies that have led to this crisis?
Well, a charter amendment has a very limited focus. It can only do, you know, a single item. You can't, you know, do broad swaths of policy through a single charter amendment. And what we understand from our polling is that people want to be able to use their parks. They want the sidewalks clear,
yes,
but they want us to do it in a compassionate way. And this is the single most important topic for the city, you know, when we do polling that everybody thinks is important. And it is also the single biggest inhibitor to our hope of economic recovery. And so we need to be focused on getting our city functioning and well poised to recover economically from this, you know, twin pandemic of, mm-hmm, you know, COVID and homelessness.
You know, and I love everything you just said. I just also know that when they've gone through homeless encampments with 100 people and they have offered services, they've offered housing to all 100 and only two accept, only three accept. And it is so sad that people are so far gone and, you know, we're just enabling people to kill themselves, but they choose to stay on the streets because they can't imagine. They're so far gone, they can't imagine giving up the drugs. And so they turn down the services. So, again, how are we going to clean up the streets if so many people have made the horribly sad choice that they don't want help?
Well, one of the things that COVID has really shown us is that the traditional congregate shelter, mats on the floor 5 inches away from another person, just isn't viable. And we have seen much more success with different kinds of shelter. SOTO hosts the Salvation Army's new 300-bed shelter. This is a facility that has, you know, dividers that give three-side privacy. It has lockable storage. You know, it's run by the Salvation Army. And honestly, it has been a good neighbor in our neighborhood because, mm-hmm, it's a different model. So this proposal is also calling for the city to look at the different shelter models and start to create situations that are going to be more effective at encouraging people to come inside, where people are going to want to come inside.
Okay. I hope you're right about that. I just haven't seen, you know, too much evidence because there is such dysfunction and such mental illness and such depths of addiction. A couple other things real quick. There is this regional homelessness authority. Seattle and King County, taxpayers are already spending, almost $1 billion a year and seeing the problem get worse and worse. The head of this new regional homelessness authority is a guy who's a self-declared communist or loves communism, is a hardcore socialist, and he doesn't like cops, and he doesn't want to talk to Republicans. How are you going to work with that organization?
This charter amendment is designed to work with that organization. You know, I don't know much about the individual's background or political.
I do.
They are the architect of this, and it's really, really too early to have any, to form any opinions on how this is going to operate, you know, but that is why in our charter amendment, it encourages us to work with the regional homeless authority. But ultimately, if the regional homeless authority does not do the things within this charter, the city is still responsible to do them.
Okay.
And that is a really key thing. So it's intended to coordinate and work with, but ultimately the responsibility for the items within this charter are on the city.
How much are you going to be asking from the taxpayers?
At this point, we don't expect to have to ask the taxpayers for any additional money. We believe that to date, the city has not prioritized their spending to meet the scale of this crisis. And if you look at what we spent in 2020, which is $192 million,
yep.
And then we added another 1%, which added $16 million, we believe that with that funding and with the funding that's coming from the federal government, that with the right prioritization, we can pay for this with our current funding.
Okay.
What hasn't happened up till now is any direction on funding and any like moving towards a common goal. And that's what we think. We think it's a prioritization process.
I know you're all very well intentioned. I've talked to you many times about the frustration, and everybody asks, what do we do? Where do we go from here? I know the frustration of all of your member businesses. I've done a lot of work with Fair Start. I think that's a great organization. I know that they are one of the philanthropies that's a part of this. I don't question the motives of anybody involved. I'm just skeptical until we get our politics straightened out. But I hope I'm wrong.
But I have to ask you,
yes.
What's the cost if we do nothing? And that is where we are now.
Understood. And I would just like to see a prioritization in your mission of making drugs illegal again, getting rid of politicians who have created this problem. But I understand. You're with the charter amendment, you're limited with what you can do. You made that point with me, and it's a point well made. So I respect what you're trying to do, Aaron. I really do.
Well, thank you, Dorian. Thank you to all your listeners.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming on with me. Aaron Goodman, she is the president of the SoTo Business Association, an area that's been really hard hit by the homelessness crisis. Love to hear your thoughts. Text me, 98973. Lots more to come on the Dory Monson Show. We're going to talk to the guy behind the recall Kshama Sawant campaign because the Supreme Court yesterday said they can go ahead with trying to recall Sawant. I'll find out what the threshold is and what you can do to help, because it is out-of-state money that is trying to support Sawant. This is National Socialist Movement, socialist and Marxist. She is an avowed Marxist, and a national Marxist organization, socialist organizations. They're the ones pumping money, trying to keep Kshama Sawant on the Seattle City Council because they want to Portland and Seattle. They've envisioned as their socialist Marxist strongholds that they want forevermore. So we'll tell you all about that, and we'll talk to that guy coming up right after the top of the hour news. Down in Oregon, our neighbors to the south, police chief, there's a police department there that has a canine, and the canine they named Lil Kim. Canceled. A local activist said, because Lil Kim is also the name of a rapper who's black, and since police dogs have a history of biting people of color, the police chief has announced that he has caved in to cancel culture, and their canine named Lil Kim will from now on be known as Kim. I hope everybody feels better. I think that should solve every problem we have in America. Removing the Lil. We're going to check the news for you. And then Big Lead at 2 coming up next.